for the review. We're live in the studio. It's game day, and guess what? It's 73 degrees outside right now. It's supposed to be a high of almost 85, I believe, towards game time. It should be around the mid-70s. Hopefully, you guys enjoy it. Once again, welcome in Jacob Warling and David, the man of God Harris, as they tune in to our live feed here on the Facebook page. Make sure I try to share it, too, on After Further Review. But now, guess what we've got on the phone lines? We've got Brian Bucky from the Toledo Blade. I just enjoy that he always comes on the show. We're talking a little bit of Rockets football as they take on Tulsa. Rockets come in undefeated, which is actually pretty good, but they're going to be playing a Tulsa team that's equally as good. Now, I did watch them play against Oklahoma State, and pretty much they got rickrolled. But Oklahoma State is a different beast, and they're actually trying to compete with for a national championship. So with the Mike Gundy and the mullet. So that right there tells you something. But I believe Tulsa went on to win their second game of the season. And now the Rockets, who ended up beating Nevada last week, are now up against Tulsa before they have their matchup up against Miami, which is down in Miami. Miami will have a couple of weeks off since because of Hurricane Irma. But once again, let's welcome in Brian Bucky to the show. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, it's just me in the studio today, Brian. So it's game day. This is going to be kind of strange for me. My first Saturday of Rocket football at the Glass Bowl that I haven't done in 7 years. I started out as talent and then 6 years as the sports director. So kind of a little bit different, but I will be enjoying the broadcast as Zach and Jed will be bringing it to you at 7 o'clock. And Brian, you'll be up there on the third floor of the suite also watching the game. But let's make a recap as the Rockets ended up taking on Nevada. And what did you think of the games as the Rockets came away with the victory as they ended up winning 37-24, pushing the Rockets to 2-0?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good game. It was kind of a weird game, a really long first half and kind of a long game. Both teams ran a lot of plays. For the most part, I think the Toledo offense was good. They again, they maybe missed a few chances and, you know, to score touchdowns, but overall it was a good performance. I'm looking at the stats here. It looks like they had, well, you know, almost 200 yards rushing in the game. Woodside threw for 230 yards, 2 touchdowns. But I thought the big thing was the defense made 2 key turnovers in the second half when it was kind of weird. The Toledo's offense kind of started sputtering a little bit at kind of the middle of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. And Nevada got kind of back in the game. I think they were down by 10. Mm-hmm. And then UT got 2 straight possessions of turnovers, a forced fumble and an interception that were huge to the win.
And let's look at this. Logan Woodside was 19 of 27, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and didn't even get sacked against Elon. He got sacked a couple of times and didn't even throw a touchdown pass. So that was something that they look forward to. His touchdown streak was ended against Elon, but he starts a new streak as he ended up getting against Nevada. Terry Swanson actually had a pretty good game as well, as he had 101 yards up for 27 carries. Art Tompkins had 12 for 54, and Shaquille Seymour had 14 for 48. It looks like we're having another Justice League here where a lot of the backs are going to pretty much share a lot of the load when it comes to carrying the football. But Terry Swanson, you know, came out and had a really good game.
Yeah, Swanson looked good, running powerfully and then, scoring 2 more touchdowns. He had 2 against Elon, so he's up to 4 touchdowns already, over 100 yards. And I thought it was interesting. Toledo really pounded the run game. I mean, they had 60 rush attempts, which is a huge number. And, they just really wanted to get the run game going. They had all 3 guys contribute, and the run game was looking good. The offensive line was blocking well and looking good for Toledo. And like you said, they gave up no sacks, so the offensive line was had a really good game.
But some seemed like some UT fans weren't satisfied. I've been hearing that all week. A win, you know, some people say a win's a win, but there's still some, concern. Or for some of the things with the Rockets, some fans thought that, you know, Woodside was hurried a little bit. Looked like they said the play calling was a little bit sloppy. You get that all the time. But deep down, we always talk about this. doing Rocket football, and I remember there's always that Achilles heel that you point out that you hope doesn't get taken advantage of, but it does. I know a couple years ago when they were ranked in the top 25, the Rockets were known to get off to slow starts. And through the season, they kept winning the games. When it seemed like it got to November, though, a couple of slow starts hurt them. They ended up losing a couple of ball games and not being able to close out teams, especially against NIU. And I mean, even though they got the bowl game win that year with Matt Campbell and them, it probably cost them probably going to a New Year's Six bowl and a MAC championship.
Yeah, I think they started off a little slow against Elon in the first game. I mean, they were kicking field goals. They had like 4 field goals in the first half, but weren't scoring touchdowns. So I think that was something fans wanted to see, you know, more touchdowns in the red zone. Started a little slow against Nevada. They still actually led 10-3 after the first quarter. And it looks like it was 20-10 at halftime. So, yeah, they'll have to come out against Tulsa and be ready to go for sure, because it'll be a big test on offense and defense for them.
Speaking of the test, we talk about this it seems like for every MAC team, it comes down to defense. And some teams, they just aren't good at defense. But some people were saying that this defense is decent, but they give up big plays at crucial times. What has been your analysis of the defense in these first two games? I know it's only been 2 games, and the season's just starting in Elon. You know, some people, you can't really judge that, but some people believe that if Elon had a better quarterback and receiver core, they probably would have got shredded in the passing game. So some people are kind of concerned about that defensive backfield. What's your analysis?
Yeah, I mean, right away against Elon, they had some open throws that their guys cutting free, and they kind of missed the throw. They had 2 young quarterbacks, so they missed some big plays in the passing game. And then other than that, they didn't really even throw the ball that much. So that game was not really a good kind of barometer of the defense. But I thought Toledo's pass defense was really good in the first half, and they really limited Nevada in the passing game. And then kind of as the game wore on, they started getting – you know, even more, you know, longer runs, and saw guys getting open on long passes and kind of exploiting the defense a little bit. And that, just looking at the stats, their slot receiver for Nevada, McLean Mannix, had 6 catches, 139 yards, and a touchdown. He had a 75-yard touchdown catch. Their second receiver, Wyatt Demp, 6 for 95. He had a 50-yard catch that wasn't a touchdown, but it was a big play. Mm-hmm. So they'll definitely have to clean that up. It'll be interesting to see with Tulsa, because their quarterback, Chad Precedent, showed in the first 2 games that he can be an effective runner. He rushed for 2 touchdowns against their second game, I believe, against Louisiana. And so he's not, it's his third career start, so he's not necessarily going to be slinging the ball all over the place. They like to run the ball, kind of do fast up-tempo in the running game. So we'll see if he can kind of exploit the Toledo defense. But, I think they've done okay, but they've kind of allowed some big plays, and that can't happen in a game against Tulsa.
And speaking of them, as we kind of transition to them, I would say they have a very balanced offensive and defensive attack. Offensively, as you've mentioned, this will probably, you go to a football game and a basketball game might break out. We might see Rocket men's basketball. We could get scores from Madden Online, where the score could be 70-60 or something like that. Or, you know, some epic games that we've had at the Glass Bowl a few years ago when, you know, Coach Beckman was here when the Rockets beat, Western Michigan 66-63. I mean, it's exciting football to watch, but then it starts to get really concerning that can their defense stop a nosebleed. But Tulsa comes in here, they averaging 45 points and 549.5 yards per game, but then their defense gives up about 50 points and 618 yards per game. So, you know, dynamic offense, they give up a lot on defense, but once again, though, I will say this, could those numbers be kind of deceiving, because they did go against Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy and the mullet. They're looking for a bid into the Final Four for college football. And I did watch that game and I thought, wow, this Tulsa team's not bad, but they're not on the level of Oklahoma State. They're just not. And you could just tell that, you could just tell that they're more of an elite team. So now Tulsa's going to be playing a team, a group of five like Toledo, where maybe this more be an advantage, but this should be a really good game.
Yeah, I think the numbers are definitely skewed a little bit from that Oklahoma State game. They just, you know, put up like, I think like 600 yards of offense, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere, maybe even more than that. Yeah, so that kind of skewed the defensive numbers, but they scored 66 on Louisiana, but they also gave up like 40 something. So their defense can definitely be taken advantage of a little bit. And we all know how good Toledo's offense can be when it's clicking, when Woodside's getting the ball out to, you know, Cody Thompson, Deontay Johnson, John Bay, all those guys, and the running game is going with their three backs. So I think they'll definitely, like you said, it could kind of turn it into a shootout, because both offenses are very explosive, want to run quick tempo, quick up tempo kind of pace. So I think we'll be in for a good game, and maybe it will come down to, you know, a turnover on defense or something like that, or a big defensive stop late in the game, something like that. So we'll see.
Now, David is listening. He asks you, what do you think their game plan is going to be for the two-headed monster at running back with Brewer and Taylor? And then also the quarterback that they have, President. That's, I think, like I said, that's a cool name to have as a quarterback, Mr. Yeah. President. Can you imagine that? Someone comes in the room and calls you Mr. President. He also can run the ball as well. He can keep the ball and get yardage too. Last season, the Rockets really had a problem with the run. There are some fans out there that say that, you know what, it still looks like the teams can still kind of run against that front four. So what do you think the game plan is going to be?
I think Tulsa wants to run the ball, and I think, you know, they're going to have to get guys in the box and make, you know, tackle defensive lines and have to step up a little bit. There are a few plays that I noticed against Nevada where they didn't give up the huge play in the run game against Nevada, which was in the rushing game. But I think there's definitely, you know, we've seen times where there's been big holes and the front four hasn't been, too effective in stopping the run. So this will obviously be the biggest test in the run game. And you got D'Angelo Brewer, who can score whenever he touches the ball. And then you got Corey Taylor, a power back, who has, I think, four touchdowns already and a bunch of yards in his own right. So they'll have to key in on the run game. And then they'll have to also, you know, contain President and not let him get, you know, to the outside on, you know, a play fake or a rollout or something like that.
Yeah, they against Oklahoma State, they only got 24 points. But then when they ended up kicking it into high gear and winning 66-42 against Louisiana, you know, like I said, President and the two running backs did really well. Ant Garrett out there, one of my friends, thinks that the score could be 47-37 Toledo. I'm thinking more of a score, maybe 76-65 in double OT.
That would be very entertaining, that's for sure.
Any other news and notes from the Rockets? I know there was some couple other stories, but I cannot find them.
No, I think that's about it. I'm just looking forward to this game today, and it'll be a good test. And I think we might see Toledo kind of rise to the occasion a little bit. They've looked a little bit off maybe in the first two games, but I think this could be a good game for them. We'll see.
I got to ask you this. I don't like looking too far ahead, but the Miami game, national news is all talking about a little bit that, you know, that'll be the first game Miami has played since Hurricane Irma. A lot of Southern Florida schools, or Florida schools in general, will have 2 to 3 weeks off. Did anyone ask Coach Candle possibly, and maybe they might ask this on Monday, you're not going to see a lot of film on Miami. You want to see one game. And right. Toledo, you'll get three. I mean, is that an advantage for Miami, especially going down there?
Yeah, I think it could be a little bit of an advantage. I think they'll be able to scout them okay from the first game. I know it'll be a little tough, like you said. I think they were supposed to play Florida State maybe this week.
Yeah, they were supposed to play Florida State this week, the rivalry game, because some people thought that the Toledo-Miami game would be a trap game.
Right. So now that's kind of out the window, but I think they'll be able to scout them enough. you know, from the first game. It could be a little bit of a disadvantage, like you said, not being able to see them go up against a good team like, you know, Florida State and kind of see what their game plan is in a game like that. But, yeah, I think it'll be all right. I don't think Coach Candle has talked about it yet, but that could be something to ask him on Monday for sure.
Also, we got a blast from the past. We have the Century teams. I believe Bruce Gradkowski will be getting honored. Also, Gary Pinkel will be signing books over at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, he's got a new book out. He kind of co-authored with a writer from, I don't know if it's a St. Louis paper or one of the Missouri papers. And it's kind of about him kind of having to overcome stuff throughout his career. And so he'll be signing those books at Barnes & Noble today, I think like 2 to 4 p.m., something like that. So if Rockets fans want to go over there and get a book signed from him, they can do that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I found the other couple stories. I knew these were good stories. And are you going to go over there and get an autograph from Mr. Pinkel?
No, I don't think I'm going to do that.
you never know. Also, you really great story about junior college transfer Skipper. Some people don't realize that even though you play JUCO ball, it's still a tough transition from transferring from JUCO to actual Division I football. Talk a little bit about his story.
Yeah, so he didn't really have Division I opportunities coming out of high school. I think he was from Connecticut, and so he chose to go to play at junior college, Monroe Junior College, and I believe it was New Rochelle, New York. And it was kind of a new program, and they were kind of, I think in the third year maybe of even having football there. So he kind of, you know, got adjusted a little bit to, you know, college life, college courses, stuff like that. But, and he said, you know, he got kind of a second opportunity. His first opportunity was the junior college opportunity. And then he got the second opportunity, which was to play at Toledo. And it was definitely a transition for him. I know he talked about, you know, at a university where there's, you know, 20,000 something kids, something like that, as opposed to, you know, I don't know what, I can't remember what it was, but like 5,000 or something like that.
Yeah, some rinkadink junior college out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. And you got big buildings all over campus. You're on the move from class to class. You have to balance that with football, and it's an adjustment. And I think he adjusted well, you know, last year. He was played behind John Stepik, so he kind of learned from him. And then he's kind of taken advantage so far this year with, you know, the chance to kind of start opposite of Olai Danny on the defensive line. And he had a huge play against Nevada when he, you know, got a sack and a forced fumble that I think it was Nate Childress recovered. That was one of the key plays I was talking about earlier against Nevada. So he's got a big opportunity ahead of him, and looks like he's going to take advantage of it.
Another article you had, and I really like this article, and it's kind of near and dear to me because some people don't realize how academically talented this football team is. And you mentioned it is a hard struggle, but as while I was sports director here and as a graduate student and undergrad student, a lot of the football players graduate and then move on to graduate school. And one of 13, I think it's 13 players on this team actually have their degrees in hand and are actually taking graduate courses. And I believe, do they get a special patch on their jersey?
Yeah, so for the first year, the MAC has a MAC graduate patch that kind of goes on the top of the jersey, on one of the right or left sides of the jersey. So it's kind of a nice touch that the conference did. I think there's like 50-something cases like that in the MAC where there's a player who has already graduated and is seeking a second degree. So it's kind of a cool little thing, and just talking to a few, you know, Toledo players, they really like it, and they, you know, kind of said it's an honor to wear that on their jersey.
But the thing about it is, I hate about school, it's great to see that, but then also you don't know what you're going to do after you're done, and it is kind of scary out there trying to look for jobs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You want to set yourself up the best you can so you have options. And I think that Toledo players are definitely doing that, so that's nice to see. But, yeah, sometimes it does take some time to figure out what you want to do after. You know, maybe some people, you know, on the team chase a career in football, but others are going to have to, you know, get out there in the real world, so to speak, and then get, you know, a corporate job or something like that. So It's nice to see that they're keeping their options open, though. So.
No, it's good to see, because you always hear the bad stories about student athletes and how they, you know, they get special privileges. Cardale Jones, you know, when he was in college, you know, he had that tweet where he said something about, well, we don't go here to play school. And it's always that stigma. And I always tell people that that's one thing that I can say that's really great about this Rocket football program, because I had a lot of guys that were in my classes and stand up students. And before I actually was at the University of Toledo, I was at a local community college, and I mean, we didn't have football, but we had basketball, and pretty much the student athletes, so to speak, in the main sports or the more popular sports, you know, not to throw them under the bus or anything, but they weren't they weren't really model student athletes. They usually were, you know, disrupting the class, or they weren't showing up at all. Now, once again, like I said, that was a junior college, and one of the probably the main reasons they were at the junior college was because of the academic problems. Now, David says Josh Rosen doesn't have to worry about finding a job after school, which is true. Now, he mentioned that it's difficult to do it, but if you think about it, the Rockets are proving otherwise, that no, if you put your mind to it, you can juggle athletics and academics.
Yeah, it's true. They've definitely shown that. You know, it's not easy for anyone, you know, to balance, you know, if you're going to class and if you're doing your daily routine. I mean, it's tough enough for college student who doesn't have to worry about, you know, playing football every day and practicing and all the pressures that go along with that. So it's not easy by any means. I don't think anyone really thinks it's easy on these players. But it's a little bit refreshing to see for Toledo to you know, to have 13 players like that who have already graduated.
Mike Schoen, the assistant AD. You know Mike Schoen?
I do, yeah.
Assistant AD at St. John's and varsity assistant basketball coach says, tell Bucky I'll give him buckets. So I guess you and him play basketball. Or Bucky, I've never even seen you shoot a basketball before. I know you're handy with the pen and you can type real fast on a computer, but can you shoot it in the hoop?
I can shoot a little bit. Not a dead-eye shooter, but I can shoot a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of times, like, a lot of people want to see the media guys go out there and, you know, play the sports, because we do critique them, you know, a little bit. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes they don't think you can be athletic enough and not play. Our final thing, though, is Kareem Hunt goes out and has a monster of a time. I even told people, I said, you know what, a late fantasy pickup, even though, you know, some people go through the auto draft or whatever, and most people had their fantasy teams already picked. I said, you know, this Kareem Hunt guy is going to be really good. I actually know a girl that is a diehard Kansas City Chiefs fan, and I told her, you know, watch out for Kareem the Dream. He's a hell of a player. And she pretty much told me, well, Ware is better than him, and he's going to start over him. I said, I bet you he's going to take Ware's spot for the next season. Now, I didn't think that Ware was going to screw up his knees and be injured and pretty much out for the season. But, boy, did he come in and really dominate. And people are shocked, but we saw this for 4 years. I mean, I called him the man-child his first 2 years because, I mean, he was the young kid out there, but he was pretty much bullying everyone out there. How was his performance a key, though, for the Rocket football team? And not only that, a reflection of them, but maybe even the MAC, because even Galladay from NIU had a hell of a game for the Detroit Lions, as he had two touchdowns.
Right, and you know, Corey Davis was a top five pick, so
right,
yeah, the MAC can get it done. I mean, I think Davis had a pretty solid first game. I think he could be a star in the NFL. Really, I mean, that guy was crazy in college, just a ridiculous athlete. And you know, it's interesting to see, you know, Hunt comes out, you know, he has that first run and then he fumbles, and you're thinking, oh man, like, could he be benched even right away? Is this too much to handle for him? All that. I mean, he never fumbled at Toledo.
Well, he did fumble. It wasn't for a loss. The fumble went out of bounds. Yeah. I remember that game actually when he fumbled, but you're right. He was a machine. He never fumbled.
Yeah. So yeah, he was able to bounce back from that and just look great. I mean, he was doing everything. He was catching short passes, catching that long touchdown pass. You know, that tough 3-yard touchdown run where he dove for the pylon. He just did everything. But yeah, like you said, we saw how good he was at Toledo. Maybe we didn't think he'd do that, you know, in his first game against the defending, you know, NFL champions. So, but I don't think anyone was altogether too surprised, you know, those people who have watched him at Toledo or, you know, coached him or seen him in the past.
Gives us a little bit of respect, especially his. You know what? His Instagram followers just shot up. Seriously, yeah. You know, I was looking at Big Ream, and next thing you know, he's getting all these likes. He's getting like in the double digit thousands. Like he's getting 20,000 likes on his Instagram pictures, and before he was only getting maybe close to 900. You know, obviously he had his fans out there, but then you have a big game against the Patriots on Thursday night, and I mean, like like to say, Chapter 2 world domination, and now you're a star.
Yeah, I think he's going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated too.
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, so they could probably take that cover. Usually, when they say current Rockets in the NFL, right outside the Laramere press room or their little film room, they could put that cover up there for Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Once again, Brian, thanks so much for calling in and giving us some great insight for the Toledo Rockets. A little prediction?
I'll say 47-41 Toledo.
Ooh, man, like I said, people will be out. Are they getting touchdown or are they getting buckets? And like Mike Schoen said, he'll give Brian Bucky some buckets. But once again, Brian, thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, that was Brian Bucky from the Toledo Blade. He is their sports writer. And once again, always giving us great coverage for the Rockets. So it's been a great couple of weeks. Kareem Hunt did very well. The Rockets are 2-0. Like I said, we're on the live stream. I needed to share it on the After Further Review live stream, but I couldn't get to it. But guess who's coming up next, though? You know, the man, the myth, the legend. That's right. David, the man of God, Harris will be coming up next here on 88.3 WXUT. Make sure you always check us out on our live feed on the After Further Review Sports Facebook page or my own personal page, which is actually public, so you can see us on that way. Also, you can carry us in your pocket on iTunes. We're actually on there, After Further Review. So if you got an iPhone, make sure you go over to iTunes, load it up. Go to podcast, search After Further Reviews. Got a picture of Frank Vashner and the horse's head. By the way, also, if you're on an Android, you can make sure you get the SoundCloud app. Download it and go look for WHT's After Further Review. Same picture of Frank Vashner and the horse's head. And you can listen to us on the go. Once again, a beautiful Saturday morning outside. Currently about 73 degrees. I'm going to get on out of this segment. Coming up next, we got David, the man of God, Harris, or also on his Facebook page, he's the minister, David Harris, here on 88.3 WXUT. We'll be right back with winners and losers from last week.